disclaimer is, I know some things, a little. This is the infallible word of God. So, if anything, this is by far the more important part of what's going to happen here today. And if you just hear this and don't hear me, that's fine. So keep watching this and check that what I say matches what is down here. So, if you all have your Bibles open, let's read John chapter 21, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way, that Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your nets onto the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it. The fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he had raised them from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word. I think I'll cut the reading there. I think that's fine. If we could have the PowerPoint for the sermon up. I don't think there's too much there, and it would just be a blank screen for the start, but that would be helpful. Okay, so if I can have maybe about 15 minutes of your time, I hope that will be fine. So I'm here both this morning and this evening, and it is, of course, the week after Easter. So the messages that I will be bringing to you will be answering the question, after Easter. So, in our passage, we have seen, and in the kids' talk, we have seen that Jesus is the Lord. But there's an obvious question, what kind of Lord? There are many lords in the world today. There's Lord Sugar, Lord Shaftesbury, King Charles, Donald Trump, Putin, many other people who have lord-like jobs who claim the title of Lord. So, that begs the question, what kind of Lord is Jesus? Well, this passage shows us at least two things about Jesus that tell us what we mean when we say that Jesus is Lord. So, my first point, Jesus is a Lord who provides. Okay? Jesus is a Lord who provides. So, John, let's follow the story from John's perspective. John has thrown the net over the right side of the boat, and they start to feel the pull of the fish grow heavier and heavier. It's about 175 kilograms of fish, essentially. And he realizes what's going on. It's the Lord, he yells. And of course, Peter, typical Peter, always the active one, he jumps into the water and he starts swimming to shore. In fact, he throws on his coat and jumps into the water and starts swimming to shore. Have any of you ever swam in a coat before? No, it's quite silly. It's quite a silly image. I don't know quite why Peter does this, but that's what he does. Perhaps John rolls his eyes. We don't know. Not yet, sorry. But he and the rest of the disciples hold onto the net and start bringing the net in just behind Peter. Jesus has helped them once again to catch some fish. An interesting thing to note, nowhere in the Gospels do the disciples ever catch any fish without Jesus' help. They're fishermen. It's odd. And they get to shore, and what has Jesus been doing? Jesus has already been cooking some fish. That's odd as well. Why all the fuss about catching the fish if Jesus has the fish on the shore? And he asks them to bring some of the ones that they have caught and to put them on the fire too. And he says to them, come to breakfast. In fact, there's this little kind of quite comic moment where in verse 12, Jesus says to them, come and get breakfast. But it seems like they're sort of too astonished to do anything because in verse 13, Jesus actively goes and puts the food into their hands. In fact, if you look at it, notice what the food is. Because this is a picture, a little enacted parable, if you will, of what Jesus being Lord looks like. This isn't the first time that Jesus has done something a little bit special with bread and fish. In fact, it's the only other miracle, aside from Jesus' death and resurrection, that is recorded in every gospel. Have you guessed it yet? It's Jesus feeding the 5,000. And in John's Gospel, John spends a lot of time focusing on how Jesus explains the meaning of that miracle, which is that Jesus himself is the bread of life. When the feeding of the 5,000 has happened, if we have the next slide, you don't have to pull it up, but Jesus says in John chapter 6, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And then after some back and forth with the people that he's been talking to, the people talking to Jesus say, sir, they said, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Wouldn't you like to never have to be hungry again? What Jesus means by this is that by believing in Jesus, we will have eternal life. I am the bread of life, and he draws that connection. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and what does coming to Jesus look like? It looks like believing in him. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For the apostles, this miracle is a reminder that they cannot earn their way into heaven. They don't have the ability to save themselves, just like how they cannot catch fish without Jesus. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And this is, if anything, a picture for us today. Because I don't know about you, but I am often forgetful of this. I will try and work my way into God's good books. Instead, this story reminds me that I am like the disciples. I am unable to provide bread of eternal life for myself, and instead I need Jesus to do it for me. So, kids, do you ever do chores to earn rewards? Have you ever done chores for, like, if you do a chore, you get a treat? Like, if you tidy up your room, yeah? Yeah, exactly, you know what I'm talking about, right? If you get all of your chores done, you get to go and watch a movie, perhaps, or you go out and get ice cream, or something like that. I don't know. That is all well and good. I'm not bashing that at all. But it's nice to know that we can do something and get the treat. But getting into heaven is not like that. Kids, Jesus is not like your parents. You see, you cannot earn your way into heaven. You really do need Jesus to do it for you. And the wonderful news is that Jesus has died, and so to get into heaven, Jesus has died and has come back again. And so to get into heaven, all you need to do is believe in him. So if any of you children or grown-ups have any questions about that, please do come and talk to me after the sermon. Anyway, what type of Lord is Jesus? Jesus is a Lord who provides. That's point one. What type of Lord is Jesus? Jesus is a Lord who provides. And then point two, Jesus is a Lord who restores. If you can just go back to a blank slide, maybe. For now. Back one slide, I think, will work. Great, thank you, sorry. So let's go over the story again, but now from the perspective of Peter, because there's something else I want to think about. John has just realized that the man who's standing on the shore is Jesus, and Peter, of course, puts on his coat, jumps into the water, and swims to shore. And he arrives, drenched and dripping in seawater, but eager to meet Jesus. And what does he see? What has Jesus been cooking on? Pardon? A fire. Yes, absolutely. He's been cooking on a fire. And if you look at it, it's a charcoal fire. And this is a really striking move on Jesus' part. Why? Well, there's one other place in the New Testament where we see, in particular, a charcoal fire. One last quiz. Any guesses where that is? There you go. Exactly right. So, it's in Luke 22. You don't need to turn there. I will have it up on the screen if you can scroll to the next. Yeah, there we go. I'll read it up on the screen. And I'm just going to read this passage because I really do believe that it speaks for itself, especially after we've read this. So, then seizing him is Jesus. They is the Sanhedrin's police who've been, and the Roman soldiers who've been dragging Jesus away. They led him away and took Jesus, into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a charcoal fire, in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he, Peter, denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." But he, Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words that the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows on the third day, crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. So the risen Jesus is taking Peter right back to the point of his utmost failure. Not just that, but in the rest of the story, when Jesus and Peter are probably going for a walk along the beach, Jesus asks him if he loves him. And he asks him again. And he asks him a third time, just like the three times that he denied Jesus. And it hurts. Because confronting your sin really will But of course, Jesus does this because he wants Peter to know that his sin has been dealt with. Jesus wants Peter to know that his sin has been dealt with. And then, wonderfully, what does Jesus ask Peter to do? He says, to feed my sheep. Did you catch that? To feed my sheep. At another point in John's Gospel, after the feeding of the 5,000, after Jesus has said he's the bread of life, he also says that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Peter knows just how much Jesus cares for his sheep. He's seen it. He's seen Jesus' death and resurrection. He's seen his care in action. Jesus takes Peter to his worst point, and then he provides him with bread, and then he says to him, feed my sheep. In effect, he says, Peter, I don't care how badly you have messed up, I will still feed you the bread of eternal life. And on top of that, Peter, I know your track record, I know what you're like, but I am with you, and so I will trust you with this most precious task, which is to feed my sheep. Can you imagine anything more restorative? Well, for us, what shall we do? Well, if there is any way in which you think, I've messed up too badly, I don't know how I can come back to Jesus. Well, if that's you, then take comfort in how Jesus restores Peter. It isn't an easy process, but it is good. Jesus wants you to bring your sin to him. He is big enough to deal with it. He is kind and gentle enough to put things right. He really does love you. But do you know the way in which we know that Peter is ready to receive Jesus' love? He runs to Jesus. Well, I suppose he swims, but the point still stands. Right? You see, the first time that Jesus does this miraculous catch of fish, Peter says to him, Lord, get away from me, for I am a sinner. But Peter has learned. He has learned that the thing he needs most is not to be kept separate from Jesus, but to be brought close to him. Brothers and sisters, children, if you are aware of your sin, the number one thing to do is to go to Jesus. The only place to be is with Jesus. He welcomes sinners, he feeds the empty, and he restores you. And that's me. I thought that a wonderful closing song, given what I have just said, is Jesus Strong and Kind. So I think we can have that up.